The story of Noah is told in a few chapters in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 through chapter 9. And there is that brief remark in chapter 5 of Genesis that gives information about his birth. Now, four things can be noted right away from these four chapters that deal with his life story. And I found them to be interesting for my own benefit. They proved to be a blessing to me, and it's very simple, nothing profound. But sometimes it's the simple thing that brings the blessing. And the Lord can use the simple thing to encourage his people. Let me show you what I mean. In chapter 6 and verse 8, we're told, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." That's the first thing that we notice about this man. The Lord was gracious to him. Okay? Let's move on then to the next chapter, chapter 7 and verse 1, and notice what it says here in this opening verse. "And the Lord said unto Noah." So what's the Lord doing here? The Lord has been gracious unto him, and now the Lord is speaking unto Noah. Well, let's move on to the next chapter and the first verse again. Notice what it says. "And God remembered Noah." So God is remembering Noah. And then when you turn to chapter 9, again the first verse, we read these opening words, "And God blessed Noah." So let's put these four things together. So the Lord, who was gracious to Noah, spoke to Noah, remembered Noah, and blessed Noah. Isn't that a wonderful encouragement for us as the people of God? We have received his grace. The Lord speaks to us in his word. He remembers us the way he remembered Noah. And thank God he blesses us. But there's something else that we note about the situation in the life of Noah. Before the flood, Noah worked for God. During the flood, he waited on God. And after the flood, he worshipped God. And the middle reference links the other two. And the point is very simple again. We can only work for God and worship God acceptably as we wait on him behind shut doors in the private place. So these are two very simple thoughts, two very simple themes. But yet if we think about them carefully, if we apply them to our own situation, I think there's great encouragement for us as the people of God. So let's think about this situation before us here tonight, about the shut door. And we want to think about the context of these words in Genesis 7, verse 16. What is the context? Well, it's what precedes this. It's what precedes God shutting the door, shutting Noah into the ark. Now, when you come to a portion like this, say chapter 6, or chapter 7, or chapter 8, how do you look at this portion of God's word? Do you just sit down and read it through, and that's it? Or do you look for points, or do you look for a theme? Do you look for something that you can develop in your own private devotions or study? This is the way we study the Bible. This is the way we dig gold out of the scriptures. It may take time, but it's worth the time to sit down, to read the scriptures carefully, and allow the Lord the opportunity to speak to our hearts, that we might get to know the book more and more with the passing of each day. Now you come to chapter 6, for example, and we read here what God saw. If you look there at verse 5 of chapter 6, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." The world was in a mess. There were no redeeming features at all. And the last reference to God seeing in the book of Genesis is at the end of chapter 1, verse 31. "For God looked down upon his handiwork," and this is what he said. He saw everything that it was very good. Okay, that's the last time we read about God saying his handiwork, his creation, and it was very good. What a contrast to the present situation. Now he sees only evil continually in the world that he had made. Verse 5. Everything was now very bad. So there's a contrast between good and evil. So when you come to this chapter, you can think right away of what God saw. God saw everything. And right now, as we gather and congregate in the house of God, the Lord sees everything that goes on here. Everything in your heart, everything in my heart, every motive that I have in preaching, every thought that runs through your mind right now, God saw what was happening, and that day God sees now what is happening. He knows our hearts. And then we move on to think about what God said in chapter 6 and verse 7. Notice what it says. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. The one who made man has the right to destroy man if he so desires. And then we move on to think about what God showed in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I'm sure you know this is the first reference in the Bible to grace. And this points us in this story to Christ. Because Noah was told to build an ark, and the ark is a type of Jesus Christ. So the first reference to grace in the Bible points us in typical fashion and typical form to Christ. And I'm sure you know where grace is found the last time in the Bible. Final mention is Revelation chapter 22 verse 1. Listen to it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And so from the very first book of the Bible right through to the very final book of the Bible, it's all about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this book is all about. It's all about grace. So as you come to a portion like this, you can see what God saw. He saw everything. He saw the state of the world that he'd created. What God said, I'm going to destroy man. He has the power to do so. What he showed. He showed grace to this man. And that's the first reference in the Bible to the grace of God. What will we do without the grace of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? It also says in verse 9 that Noah walked with God. Now, this is very interesting as well. He is one of two men in the Bible of whom it is specifically written. They walked with God. Yes, you've guessed the other one. Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Now, these two men lived in dark times. They lived in dark days. But by the grace of God, they were enabled by that grace to walk with God. And if they were able to walk with God in the dark day in which they lived, we too should be able to walk in this age in which we find ourselves in. Walk with God by the power of his grace. This was about 1,650 years after creation when the flood came. Dark days. It was the darkness of the day, the darkness of the hour that brought about the flood, that brought about the destruction. And yet we find these two individuals walking with God. And then what God shared. Chapter 6 and verses 13 onwards. God shared with Noah his plan of salvation. He shared his plan with the man who walked with God. And when we walk with God, he will use us to spread the good news of what God requires of men, what God intends to do. He will reveal unto us what we need to know. And so it is important for us to be walking with God in these days, that we may know what the Lord would have us to do for him. God told Noah to build a wooden vessel that would survive the flood. It was God's means of salvation, and it took 100 years to build it, or over 100 years. And then when that was finished, there's the finished work of Christ. It was planned in eternity. The realization of the plan took many, many years. But thank God, in the fullness of time, God came and revealed that plan in the person of His dear Son. And when the work was finished, we're thinking about the finished work of Christ, the work that He accomplished. Then He invited Noah and his family to enter in, and then the Bible says the Lord shut them in. Now, let's get to the message. Noah was secure behind that shut door. The Lord shut him in. And as a result of that, he was secure behind that shut door provided sovereignly by God. Now, Noah may have employed many helpers to build that vessel. Did you ever think about that? But there is no mention in the text of one other person engaged in that work. Now, I thought about that, and this is the conclusion I have come to. Are his helpers kept out of the record because in building the ark, Noah typifies Christ? That's only a thought. That's my thought. Isaiah said of Christ, I have trodden the winepress alone. Of the people, there was none with me. Salvation was accomplished by Christ alone on the cruel cross of Calvary. He alone did the work. He alone saves those who believe and trust in Him. And as you know, the ark had only one door. And that one door, this is something you've heard in the children's meeting, that one door typifies Christ, who said in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So we're thinking about Christ in the message. And it was Christ that shut Noah into the ark. Now, the one door was set in the side thereof, into the side of the vessel. Chapter 6, verse 16, typifying the open side of Christ from which His pardoning blood gushed forth. In John 19, verse 34, the blood gushed forth for our salvation. Remember the time when one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side. Christ, our ark, was pierced in the side. Out came the water and the blood to atone for our sins on the cross. The purpose of God was not only to save His people, but also to separate His people, to separate them from an ungodly world. And that lesson is still for today. The Lord has saved us, and He wants us to be a separated people unto Himself, to walk with Him in a dark world. And we can only be successful in walking with God and for God if we separate ourselves from the world. The Lord shut him in. And you will notice something that I just discovered this morning. The singular personal pronoun is used, the Lord shut him in. Was Noah the only one to be shut in the ark? No. Yes, it stands here for Noah, of course, like elsewhere in these chapters. But it includes his whole family. And there is an important thought here. Noah, as a type of Christ, is here portrayed as the sole actor or participant of all that went on. Even as Christ is the sole accomplisher of our redemption. And Noah's family became beneficiaries of what he accomplished in building the ark. And we, as the people of God, in union with Him, we become beneficiaries of His atoning sacrifice. Because when He went to the cross, we were in Him. We died in Him. We were buried in Him. We were raised in Him. We ascended in Him. And that's why the Bible tells us that we're now seated in heavenly places in Christ. So as Noah is attributed here to building the ark, yet his family received the benefit of his work. And this points us to Christ. And we, his people, receive the benefits of his redemptive work on the cross of Calvary. That's a wonderful thought. That when he went to the cross and when he died for all of those in union with him to put away their sin, to atone for their sin, to bring us nigh to God. Noah was secure behind the shut door. You go to chapter 10 of John's Gospel, it's the sheepfold and the shepherd. And we find that statement of Christ in the context of John chapter 10, when he says, I am the door. And you have the thought of the sheep coming into the fold. And the shepherd often became the door. He would have stretched himself across that entrance to prevent any of the sheep getting out and to prevent a wolf or an enemy getting in. And so we have the thought of the good shepherd, and he's the door. And he protects the sheep inside. He fends off the enemies who might come to destroy the sheep. What a wonderful picture we have of Christ. We're safe behind a shut door in Christ, in union with him. We died in him. We were buried in him. We were raised in him. We have ascended to heavenly places in Christ. Our hope is guaranteed. We have a security. And we are in Christ. And we have eternal life. Praise be the name of the Lord. So Noah was secure behind the shut door. And we are secure in Jesus Christ. Not have I gotten, but what I received, grace hath bestowed it, since I have believed. Noah was sustained behind the shut door. Yes, the ark provided shelter and security from the storm, but also sustenance for all those inside. And every need was anticipated and met. Just so today, Christ not only saves, but he sustains his people. He meets every spiritual need for those who trust in him. Are you getting your spiritual needs met today? Noah and his family in the ark were resting in the work of Christ. What do I mean by that? Just listen to me. The first step in building the ark was to cut down trees for lumber. And cutting down the trees to save lives typified the death of Christ. And Isaiah tells us, for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Remember in Exodus 15, when they came to Marah, the water was bitter, and the Lord pointed out a tree, and he says, Moses, cut down that tree. There's Christ cut off. Cast it into the bitter water. There's Christ agonizing, dying for his people. And that bitter water was made sweet for the people of God. Oh, when the tree was cut down and cast into that bitter water, the change took place. The ark only had one window, and it was at the top of the vessel. What does that suggest to you? We must look up to Christ. Keep looking up. My father-in-law was a great man of God, and I was a young believer, and he always wanted to get one thought across to me or wanted to impress something upon my mind. I was going to help him out in the backyard. I was looking for a rake, and I couldn't find it. And out in the garage he had a little loft, and I was looking for it all around the garage. I couldn't find it. And he says, Derek, look up. And when I looked up, I found the rake I was looking for. Are you discouraged tonight? What would the Lord have you do? Look up. Noah, it's a dark day. There's a flood outside. What are you going to do? Keep looking up. Keep looking up tonight, child of God, because God is still on the throne. Then Noah was told to pitch the ark with pitch inside and out. Now, this is the only place in the Bible where the Hebrew word kafar is translated pitch. And Strong defines it as meaning to cover with bitumen, figuratively to expiate or condone, to placate or cancel. And the same word is found about 70 times in the Old Testament, translated atonement. So the cedar, that waterproofed Noah's ark, symbolized the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which believers are safely sealed in Christ. And the significance of the pitch is most encouraging for us. The pitch was within and without. One on the inside for the eyes of Noah. When he looked at the pitch, he said to himself and his family, we're safe in here because there's pitch, and that pitch speaks of the blood. And then it was on the outside. That was the eye of God. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. And that's why we're saved tonight under the blood of Christ. Without and within, we are eternally safe and secure in God's dear Son. So as the ark was waterproofed, it was buoyant. And no matter how heavy the torrent, nor how turbulent or deep the water, it rose above it all. Now, we know that the ark had a roof. It had three stories. It had one window. It had one door. But it didn't have a steering wheel. Now, with no propeller, and with no rudder or a sail, the ark was controlled by the Lord. The Lord was the captain of the vessel. The Titanic was about three times bigger than the ark, but God took control of the steering wheel, if you like, and guided the ark on its journey. So, by using these things point us to the work of Christ, and that's why I'm saying that Noah was sustained behind the closed door, because he was resting in that which typified the work of Christ. And then, what were they going to eat? In chapter 6, verse 21, the word food is found twice. The Lord told them to gather food for the people on the inside. Now that's significant, because in Exodus chapter 16, when they came into the wilderness, the people needed food. What did the Lord provide? He provided manna. In John chapter 6, Jesus Christ preached the message about manna. And he went on to say, I am the bread of life. So there was bread, there was food in the ark for them to feed upon. In Christ, we have all that we need to feed us and to sustain us. In John chapter 6, there's the manna. And then in John chapter 7, he talks about the water of life. So if you have bread, if you have manna, you need something to wash it down. If you have a sandwich, you need a cup of tea or a cup of drink to wash it down. So God in his grace provides the manna, and then he talks about the water of life. It's the same in Exodus 16. There's the manna. In chapter 17, it's water from the rock. The Lord knows what we need. Hallelujah. He knows what you have need of. He knows what you have need of the bread. But thank God he gives you a drink of the water to wash it down, to apply it to your life and to your heart. But what about the water? Where did the fresh water come from? Noah could have used the ark roof to collect and to funnel the rain to large cisterns within the ark. What are your thoughts on that? From there, the water could be piped to locations throughout the ark. Now, we know there's plenty of water on the outside. What you think of... You think of the animals, the filth outside, that wouldn't have been the ideal kind of water for them to drink. Have you ever thought how much water Noah and his family needed? They would have needed a lot of water on board that particular vessel. They needed drinking water, of course. They needed water for their animals. They needed water for bathing. They needed water to wash their clothes, to wash their dishes, and to clean out some of the animal stalls. So where did the water come from? Well, I don't necessarily know, but I've suggested something to you. During those days of rain and downpour, and cisterns were filled inside, but they're in the ark for over a year. But they survived. There was a continual provision made for them. Whatever way God met the need, he met the need. And there's no point of you worrying about a situation, because God has that situation under control. And if you're a child of God and believe in him, he'll provide you with the bread, he'll provide you with the water, and whatever you need, because God remains faithful to his own redeemed people. So he was secure behind the shut door. He was sustained behind the shut door. And then I've got to come to a close. Noah was satisfied behind the shut door. The Lord did not say to Noah there in, I think it's chapter 7. He did not say, Noah, go into the ark. Didn't say that. What did he say? He said, come in, thou and your family, come into the ark. This is the first occurrence of the word come, by the way. It's found about 600 other times in the Bible. He says, come. Does that not imply that God was in the ark waiting for Noah and the family to come in? I think it does. More than a year later, when it was time to leave the ark, what did God say? He says to Noah, go forth. Go forth of the ark. God was certainly in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And the command to the church and to God's people, come unto me and I will give you rest. And before he left this earth, what did he say? He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Come to me. And when you come to me, I will give you the message for you to take and then go and do it for the glory of God. And he was satisfied inside because God was inside with him. And God never left the family during that period of a year or more. God was there. And every day they were reminded that they were in the ark. And please remind yourself every day that you're in Christ. Hallelujah! You're in Christ. No matter what may come. No matter what the storm may be. 40 days of torrential rain or not. 40 nights of torrential rain. I'm in the ark. I'm safe. I'm under the blood. I'm in Christ. Remind yourself every day that you're in Christ. Never forget that you're in him. Now, they were restricted where they could go and what they could do and who they could fellowship with. And we're in Christ, and that also applies to us. There are certain restrictions. There are places we will not go to. There are things we will not do. There are people we will not associate with because we're the Lord's people. There's only one family, and we're there for one another. And we're one family, a family of God. Let us be there for one another, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the ark of Christ. And as I come to an end, all who went into the ark came out of the ark. Not one was lost. Praise the Lord. Not one was lost. Everyone that entered in was safe in the ark. And all those of us in Christ and the blessed Son of God, we're all going to reach our destiny, safe and sound. Hallelujah. We're going home to see the King in all of his glory. So let us remind ourselves, we're behind this shut door. The Lord has shut us in. We are secure. We're being sustained. And we will be most definitely satisfied with Christ in the vessel. We can smile at the storm. Isn't the book of God wonderful? A simple little story like this we have known from Sunday school days, but it ever lives. We sang about that book as we commenced the meeting, and we found treasure tonight in simple places. And may the Lord be pleased to use a simple message to exalt Christ. He always does. Let's get down to our season of prayer, please. And I would encourage as many as possible again, that we'll keep going on to about maybe 10 past or so, have half an hour for prayer. If you could pick up something, somebody prays for a certain thing, if you could maybe pray for something different, or if somebody prays for an individual, you might pray for somebody else that may be overlooked, and keep the prayer meeting going, and keep rallying to the throne of grace. Keep our prayers short and to the point, and let's enter in as we lay hold upon the Lord tonight in prayer. Let's all seek the face of God. I'll commence briefly, someone else immediately after I finish praying. Father, we thank thee for the story of Noah. We're thankful for the wonderful things that we can glean from a story that we have known for a long, long time. And may these truths be used of God to bless us and to edify us in the things of God. Bless our time of prayer and send liberty and help from heaven. And do as good as we continue on before thee. In Jesus' name, amen.